Out that this congregation is sometimes an overwhelmingly friendly congregation, but their hearts are genuine and their welcomes are real. And so I pray that if you are here this morning, you will feel that spirit. I'm going to start of four things that touched my heart this week. With everything that's been going on. And those are, if we have no peace, it's because we have forgotten that we belong to God and we belong to one another. Second one, all I have seen teaches me to trust the Creator for all that I have not seen. If we do not transform our pain, we will transmit it. And last but not least, truth can be told in an instant. Forgiveness can be offered spontaneously, but reconciliation is the work of lifetimes and generations. My prayer this morning is that we who are of this generation will take seriously our responsibility to teach the upcoming generations about reconciliation. We are in need of that. And having said that, one of the best places we can do that is when we come together to worship and to give thanksgiving to God. And in doing that, we also have a lot of fun. So I want you to take a moment, look at the bulletin, see the activities that are there for this week. Remember to sign up for Rally Day so that we will know that you are going to be joining us. That will also be a service of confirmation. And so we pray that you will come join us not just after worship, but for worship, and take a moment to sign those pew tablets if you will. On our prayer list this morning, you have Betty Clark. We always keep Betty in our prayers. We also need to add Betty Smith back in there. She spent some time in the hospital this past week and is now back in her care unit, but definitely in need of some prayers from us. The Duran family, you see on your list also. So keep those persons in mind, and I know that you keep, if not written, at least on your heart, you keep a running log of those persons that we need to keep in our prayers as well as situations. Having said all of that, I pray now that the Spirit will take away everything that is without in the world, will take away everything that is within us that keeps us from fully focusing on the presence of the Spirit in this place this morning. So that not only can we give thanks to God, but we in return can feel the Spirit of the Lord. I ask that we pray together as we begin worship.
God of all creation, your beauty and your blessings are visible.
and bless us and make His face shine on us, so that Your ways may be known on earth, Your salvation among all nations. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for You rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth.
May the peoples praise You, God. May all the peoples praise You.
You may be seated. Our Lord swept away centuries of prejudice and legalism when He reached out and accepted people. Trusting that He still accepts us, let us confess our failure to often do as He has done for us.
We know in our hearts that discipleship demands new ways of teaching people relationship, but the journey from heart to eyes demands to be in a long and difficult. We pray for forgiveness, Lord, when we fail.
And from the words of the psalmist, from where can we go from God's Spirit? Where can we flee from God's presence? There is absolutely no place where we will be rejected. There's no place where we will be forgotten. There is no place where God's love will not reach us in Jesus Christ. We belong to God. And it is from God that we get the strength for our journey of faith. We have confessed, and now we are assured that we are forgiven, we are loved, we are renewed, and may we be restored in our faith. Thanks be to God.
God of wisdom and insight, by the power of Your Spirit and the gift of Your holy word, grant us the courage to reflect Your image with all those around us. In the name of Christ, our Savior, we pray all things. Amen. The Old Testament reading this morning is from Genesis, the 45th chapter, verses 1 through 15. Where Joseph reveals his identity to his brothers and forgives them, explaining that it was God who had sent him to Egypt to save him and others from the famine. Then he instructs them to bring his father to Egypt to be with him. When Joseph's brothers return to Egypt, he sends everyone from their presence but his brothers, and he announces, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" Fearful for their part in Joseph's disappearance, they are leery at first, but they come closer, and once again, Joseph says, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt." He tells them not to be distressed or angry with themselves for the deed that they have done. Why, picking up in verse 5, "Because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life, For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and ruler of over all of the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty. And now your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my own mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father how greatly I am honored in Egypt and all that you have seen. Joseph urges them once again to bring his father. Together they wept and began talking with one another once again.
Continue in Matthew's gospel. And what we read today is about Jesus explaining that it's not what we eat that defiles us, but the evil that is inside of our hearts. He is approached, as you know, by this Canaanite woman who convinces him, in spite of Jesus' initial reluctance, and he's not real happy about it at first, but he does come to this daughter and he heals her because she has been being tormented by demons. I think it's a wonderful way to realize that even Jesus was open to new lessons. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And just then, a Canaanite woman from the region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But Jesus didn't answer her at all. And the disciples came to him, urging him, saying, "Send her away, for she is shouting after us." And Jesus answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." But she came and she knelt before him and she said, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." And she said, "But yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but this, the word of our Lord, lasts forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. If only the world would wake up like Molly. Did you get a look at that little face in the bulletin? All I can say is that being responsible for putting together worship materials comes with a whole lot of advantages. And so you can you can do with that whatever you wish, but it does make you smile. I have a chalkboard in the house that I regularly update with what I've come to call Mollyisms. And the latest one is this sermon title, "If Only the World Would Wake Up Like Molly." And I want to tell you, this is not just her wake-up look. This is her day look. This is her night look. This child loves life. She really does. And I have no doubt, at least at this point, she embraces fully unconditional love that you and I as people of faith know as grace. Gary and I have been blessed over these short 9 months of Molly Pop's life to be on the receiving end of a whole lot of her wake-ups, and those come in many different ways. Opening those little twinkling eyes and seeing that sort of little toothy grin sort of spread all over her face and those little cheeks just get puffed up. I tell you, it's hard to believe that everything can't be right with the world when you look at that. But perhaps I think more important, I think Gary and I are waking up to something that is more deep than just the physical awakening of our eyes, not just seeing Molly wake up. We are watching and learning lessons from her. When this precious child of God opens and closes her little peepers, she trusts that her needs are going to be met. She trusts that she is love. She does not yet know distrust. She does not yet know hate. She does not yet know bias and prejudice and discrimination. She does not yet know violence. We, the world, are going to teach that to her. And I pray that it is a lesson that does not soak in. The reality, though, is that we are sinful humans, and as such, there are enough lessons in this world that want to taint our love, that want to destroy our trust. And so my prayer for Molly, my prayer for me, my prayer for you, my prayer for our world is that when the evils and the wiles of the world try to get to us, that we let forgiveness be the better lesson, that we let love and not hate get that higher mark, that we let peace and not violence be our lesson plan, and that we let acceptance and not separation be our final answer. But I think even more important than all of that, I pray that we let the saving grace of Jesus Christ bring us back to that place of reconciliation with God that God so wanted for us when he sent his Son, Jesus Christ. Christ is here to bring us back to that place of absolute trust that we know as undeserved forgiveness. Christ is there to bring us back to that place of unconditional love that we know as God's grace. This was, it is, and it will always be the best lesson that any of us can ever learn. And I pray that our waking prayer each day is that the world fails at teaching us anything else. They just flat fail. And speaking of waking up, this morning both of our scripture lessons remind us that when our hearts are awakened to the Spirit of God, we have forgiveness, we have mercy, we know grace. And we know those as a way of living, not just as not just on an as needed basis. You hurt me, and so today I think I'll forgive you. I hurt you, so today I hope you forgive me. These lessons are about living a life of thanksgiving to God that we have already been forgiven, and to make that a way of life. Jesus, Joseph, the Canaanite woman, they all give this witness to this promise to us that even though we don't deserve forgiveness, we have been on the receiving end of God's grace so much so that we get to experience the healing power of forgiveness. And if we need anything in the world right now, we need healing. We need healing. But as people of faith, that healing has to begin with the truth of what God did for us in the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because at that very moment, we were forgiven. Already, it's done. And if that isn't a reason to wake up like Molly, then you better tell me another one. We're already forgiven. If we could be as secure in our trusting of God to provide for our needs, to love us unconditionally as a child is, what would the world be like? The church, and I think we as followers of Christ are at that pivotal point in history again. The world is looking at us. The world is looking to us once again, and they're asking us, so tell us, what does this story of God's love and Jesus Christ look like and sound like and feel like? Tell it to us. Well, I think that the story of love and grace and mercy and peace looks a whole lot like the story of Joseph's family. God wins out. There is grace, there's forgiveness, there's reconciliation, there's reunion. Their souls are healed. And they get to start all over again. When the brothers come to Joseph, he sees the remorse in their face for all of the pain that they have caused the family. But he also believes that they have learned this lesson of love. And Joseph, being human, in spite of all of that, he still sets up these little trials to see if his siblings really do deserve forgiveness. But all the while, deep within Joseph's spirit, I think like all of our human spirits, Joseph already wants to forgive. He wants to be reconciled. He wants his family to be reunited again. And if that's not God's story for us, I don't know what is. God wants us to be in a right relationship with us. God wants us to forgive so that we can be family once again. And you know, Joseph may not know yet why he has this urge to forgive, but God does. Forgiveness is part of God's plan. Part of God's purpose, always was, always will be. But it's a plan and a purpose that sometimes we don't understand, we don't know, we're not sure how to follow. Sometimes that plan is hidden to us, and that's where the trusting has to come in. When talking about what feels like the unknown to us in our lives, I like what Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann says about Joseph. This is what he says. Joseph not only listened with his ears, but he was willing to open his eyes and his heart, to open his life, to host the hidden and the mysterious, the unresolved purpose of God for his life that was beyond his own control. And then to trust that purpose in his life to be larger than his own horizon. How hard that is for us as humans to do, to trust in that which we cannot see and that which we can't plan and that which we don't know. It's hard for us to fathom what God has in store for us, and yet as people of faith, we know that God does have something in store for us. And sometimes, you know what, I think it takes waking up like Molly to realize that, just to trust, just to simply trust. Before Joseph cries out, and he does in Scripture, he cries out, "I am your brother." Before he even does that, his heart is already breaking. And that is the Spirit teaching a way of living rather than just teaching for a moment in time. Joseph is awakened to the reality that his whole life has been about God's good intentions in it, despite all of the twists and the turns that have happened. Quoting Brueggemann again, he says that he imagines Joseph saying this, "I became aware," and today I want to say awakened. "I became awakened when knowing that my life was more than the sum of my little fears, my little hates, my little loves. My life is larger than I imagined, and I decided to embrace the largeness that is God's gift for my life." He goes on to say, when we live according to our fears and our hates, our lives become small and defensive, lacking that deep, joyous generosity of God. However, life with God is much, much larger, shattering our little categories of control, permitting us to say that God's purpose led us well beyond ourselves to give and to forgive and to create a life that we never imagined. You and I already know distrust. We already know hate. We already know violence. We already know prejudice and bias and discrimination. But when we choose to be awakened by the mercy and the love and the truth that God looks at each one of us as a precious child, then we don't have to live what we know. We don't have to do it. We can open our eyes, and as we sang this morning, we can stand on the promise that God has something more for our lives, something that is way bigger than this world. God's heart that was beating inside of Jesus Christ has already forgiven us, and yet God's heart is still breaking and will break until we learn how to forgive one another. In spite of what the world wants, in spite of how the world wants us to behave, if we will listen to these lessons this morning, we'll understand that the final lesson is love and grace and mercy. We can teach each other about reconciliation and about reunion, and then, healing will start taking place in our own souls, and healing will start taking place in our world. If only the world would wake up like Molly. I know that sounds so simple, so simplistic. And I know not everyone can at this moment in time wake up that way. But if the world would wake up like Molly, trusting that the Lord meets our every needs, trusting that the Lord loves us unconditionally, then we've learned the best lesson of all. So, Lord, teach us to wake up like Molly. Amen.
Please stand as we affirm our faith together.
Lord, open our hearts right now to this wonderful conversation that we call prayer. Let us join our hearts together. Lord, by your Spirit, we ask that you relax the worry lines of our faces, that you lighten our hearts, that you give us some relief from our fears, and that you remind us you want us to be one with you in peace. And because of that, Lord, we ask that you hear our prayers of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, God, for the grace and the peace that you alone can give, for forgiveness, for renewal, for that unmerited love that we do not deserve and yet you give again and again. We're grateful, God, for your patience, your kindness. You don't measure these out with cups. You simply fill us to overflowing with them. But God, what we do with them is up to us. So let us use them with wisdom and compassion. We thank you for quieting the turmoil in us when we most need it. We are grateful that you assure us of forgiveness, and we are ever thankful that you provide for our needs. And like this woman of the world that was called an outsider, we say, help us, God. Help us to trust your will, your plan, your purpose for our lives. And then challenge us and guide us so that we can respond faithfully to that call on our lives. And God of mercy, we ask that you look upon your whole human family with compassion. We are an earthly mess right now. And Lord, we need you. Prod us and teach us how to rid the hearts of people, of nations that are full of arrogance and division and hate and violence. Teach us how to trust your love. And Lord, for our own families, our friends, our families who have friends who face frustrations and trials, injustices, bias of every day living in a very real way, we ask, God, that you will send your comforting spirit upon them and remind them that they never, ever walk alone and they never walk outside your love. For those here within our own family at Eastminster, Lord, we ask your healing hand upon them, your hand of comfort, your hand of unity, that they remember that we remember them. We give you our thanksgiving for courage when we're afraid, a cheerful heart when we are discouraged, and comfort when life brings us sorrows. And Lord, may your love and your peace remain so strong that nothing can take away the joy of our salvation that we find in our Lord and our Savior. And together we pray the prayer of provision that he has taught us.
May the presence of God be felt and comfort given to all of those who need his loving hand through the giving of our gifts this day. Amen. May we offer our prayer of thanksgiving. Gracious and loving God, we offer these gifts and our lives as signs that our faith is expressed not in words alone, but in deeds lived out in the name and for the sake of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
I'm going to invite you to turn to someone and simply smile at them. Oh, we have a song. No? Okay. Okay, while you're smiling at each other, turn to page 80. Okay? See, it wasn't that hard simply to smile at one another. As we prepare to go on our way, we go with the blessing of the Lord that reminds us the Lord is with us, behind us, encouraging us, beside us, befriending us, above us, watching over us, within us, giving us the gifts of faith and hope and love, beneath us, holding us, and always, always before us, showing us the way. Amen.
Amen.
We shall go out with joy, be led forth with peace.